Isaiah 30 in your Bibles, I want you to notice the rebellious people of God, as we read a moment ago, make an intriguing plea to God's prophets. Verse 11, they said, "Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path." And then they said, "Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." Wow. Now, folks, to understand what verse 11 is talking about, you first have to realize what was said before that. Verse 9 says that these rebellious and, quote, lying children did not want to hear the law of God. They didn't want right things or true things. They preferred things that were smooth and easy. And then they use this image of a road. It's an important image. Go back to verse 9. This is a rebellious people. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, another word for prophet, "See not," or "Don't prophesy," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." And now there's a colon. They're still talking. "Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." In other words, these people on their own road and their own path, they didn't like the road signs. They didn't like the messages all along the way, all these directions and warnings and limits and information. No, get out of the way. Get off the road. And they said, stop putting the Holy One and His law and His word right there in front of us. We want to travel as a people without any rules of the road, or at least none of God's rules for the road. Notice how the chapter begins before we pray. Verse 1. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." I want to speak this morning on the subject rules for the road. Rules for the road. I was talking to Rick a few days ago, my son, just last week. I told him I saw on I-95 a $2.9 million Bugatti Chiron, 1,500 horsepower, and it passed me like a wisp of air, leaving me and my RAV4 in awe. A few minutes later, though, it was my turn to pass because it was pulled over by my new favorite state trooper, right, who appeared to be writing a ticket. Now, chances are the owner of a $3 million Bugatti can afford a $300 ticket. But if he gets enough of them, he gets in just as much trouble as the owner of a Kia or a Chevy Spark. And if you own a Chevy Spark, I'm not throwing shade, more power to, actually, less power to you if you own a Chevy Spark. I'm just saying that as that Bugatti illustrated to me, rules for the road apply to everyone, no matter who you are or what you drive. And God's rules for the road don't just apply, beloved, to other people. People across the street, people who go to church, people who don't go to church, people in other religions or other countries or other generations or other Christians. They apply to everyone. And for anyone and everyone who's on the road to life, the worst thing we can do, the dumbest, most dangerous, most destructive thing we can do is refuse the signs. It is to say, as Israel says in our text, get your law out of the way. I don't want to see it. Get your rules off of our path and then refuse them instead for, quote, smooth things. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this hour. And just for the next few moments, please speak to our hearts. Dear Father, we live in a society that is trying to cancel anybody and anything that speaks truth, your word, your truth. I pray, God, that as your people, we will welcome your words and your truth. And so speak to our hearts to that end in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice again our text, and this time we're going to begin in verse 8, because I want you to see that God tells his prophet to write something in a book. Verse 8, he says, now go and write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. What you to write? There's another colon. That this is a rebellious people and so on. In other words, the people of God wanted to hear some prophecy. We read that in verse 1. Give us counsel. They wanted to hear a message from God, or at least a revelation, quote, that purported to be from God. They definitely wanted some sort of divine message, call it spirituality, whatever you want. The amazing thing is that they wanted to determine. I mean, they themselves wanted to decide what the message from God was. So that they actually said, don't talk to us. Don't show us things that are right and wrong. Don't tell us or teach us about things that are true, or even future events, prophecies that are going to happen. Instead, they said, they demanded to hear things they called smooth. Verse 10 again, look at it. It says, tell us, speak unto us smooth things. The signs on their road they wanted to be easy. Smooth things, that is, things that go down easy, are pleasant to the taste, and are easy to swallow. God, give us, they said, a smooth gospel. So that, again, to use their own image, they didn't want any instructions or directions in their own path, except some Pollyannish road sign of positivity. It would be like driving on the turnpike north to go to Orlando. And all that you see are happy Mickey Mouse signs. No signs that say no U-turn. 65 miles an hour, which is a limit. Construction, speeding fines doubled. Official use only. Yield, wrong way, do not enter, lane closed, no parking at any time. Instead of all this negativity, they just want happy affirmation. Signs. You're awesome. You're on the right path. You're always right. You're a winner. You're a victor, not a victim. Stay positive and don't think. Instead of a speed limit sign reminding you that you might be, you, not me, of course, you might be breaking the law, it's just Mickey Mouse with a thumbs up. Oh boy, go faster, or whatever he's going to say to you. Which is to say, instead of rough talk, it's all smooth. Again, verse 10 says, speak unto us smooth things. And you know, I have to say again, this is the popular sentiment and word in our society. Not surprisingly, it's one that's used in a lot of commercial advertising. There's a certain brand of cigarettes that claims to be rich and smooth in taste. There's a beer that claims that it's Beechwood aged for a smooth taste. Appleton Estate is a Jamaican rum that goes down smooth. Does any rum go down smooth? I don't know. Ask Brother Lee. He knows. You tell us about that, Brother Lee. There's an entire industry now that focuses on drinks called smoothies, and even the varieties just sound smooth. You know, it's strawberry banana smoothie, chocolate coconut smoothie, and tropical, you know, smoothies and green tea, acai, blueberry smoothies. It just sounds smooth. And while you're sipping on your smoothie, smoking your smooth camels, and you can turn on the radio to WRLX, relax to smooth 109.2 or whatever, where undoubtedly you hear Tim Burt talking about smooth operator or whatever. But it's true that smooth in our society is the word. You know, there was a political scientist in the 18th century, his name was Edmund Burke. He wrote a book called The Sublime and the Beautiful. He talked about politics. Here's something he said. You know, this is the strategy, and this was way back in 1780. Quote, smooth things are relaxing. It ought to appeal that sweet things, which are smooth to the taste, are relaxing too. It is remarkable that in some languages, soft and sweet have but one name, D-O-U-X, do, in French, signifying soft as well as sweet. The Italian dolce has the same double signification, milk and oil and sugar, the first supports of children when blended together. Blended, 1780, smoothies, that's nothing new. They have a great smoothness to the taste and relaxing quality to the skin. We must observe that smooth things are agreeable to the taste and found of a relaxing quality. If I read any more, I'll get diabetes reading all this stuff. But you know what he did? I mean, even then. He illustrates the fact of exactly what Isaiah is talking about, which was centuries ago in this morning's text. No more road signs of truth. Nothing negative. Nothing rough. Nothing that offends my heart or my mind. Speak unto us, they said, smooth things. Just give us sweet things and relaxing things and soft things. Things that are agreeable to our eyes, to my mind, and to my taste. So that they stand in this chapter as a paradigm of any generation which decides for themselves the message and the prophecy and the truth they want to hear. I want to say three things this morning very quickly. And I think they're reminders that we all need to hear. I don't preach, for those of you who are visitors, I don't preach like this every Sunday. But we do want to preach the truth every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Sunday school class, and whenever we get together. I'll remind you, verse 8 says that this book, this notebook, this admonition is also, quote, for the time to come. And then it says what? Forever and ever. Beloved, there are permanent road signs concerning timeless rules for all roads, for all people, for all time. You know, Hebrews 1 says that God has in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, Jesus. Well, we know John 1:1 says that Jesus is the Word. The beginning was the Word. God speaks through his Word, this book. God speaks through his Son, which is in this book. Here's the problem. What happens when television preachers and evangelists and books and devotions, what happens when the people to whom he is speaking want to decide what the words are and what the roadsides are? Signs are going to say. What happens when so many people only want to hear the words of God if the words of God are smooth? I can tell you what happened in the land of Judah, and I can tell you what's happening in American society. The law of supply and demand has greatly increased the number of smooth talkers and smooth signs. We're teaching in Timothy on Wednesday nights and in 2 Timothy. Paul says, Timothy, preach the word, because the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, and after their own lust will heap to themselves teachers who what? Tickle their ears. Just tickle their ears. Now, wait a minute. They will heap to themselves? Yes. It's supply and demand. So the question is, what do we do? And what are we called to do in times like these last days? So again, three things I want to share. And they're obvious. Reminder number one, smooth signs are not necessarily good signs. In other words, and again, this is obvious, just because something sounds good, just because something sounds smooth and feels good and pleasant to your ears does not increase at all its chances of being good or being true. Someone with a winning smile and a soothing, articulate voice says, here's what we believe. We believe that all faiths are good. We believe that love in one's heart is all that God expects and demands, and that everyone will find God in their own way. And we believe that women have the right to free reproductive choices, and we believe that a loving God will never judge, and neither, therefore, should we. That's what we believe. We believe there's a heaven and a paradise, but there's no judgment and there's no hell. We believe that what you believe is as true as what I believe and is as true as what he believes or what she believes, so that we believe that all beliefs are worth believing in. Amen. You know, that may sound good, sweet, soft, smooth on the ears. But there is a very big problem with a smooth message like that, and the problem is it's not true. It's wrong, which actually makes it a lie and fake, real fake news. It's deceitful. If you look at verse 10 again, you'll notice the word deceit equals smooth in that case. Many years ago, my boys were little, and we were at what was then called Imagination Station, a little park on Central. Is it still there? And I don't know. It's wooden. We called it the Wooden Park. Imagination Station was this big park for the kids, and it came right off of Central, and this older couple pulled in. And they got my attention, and they said, "Can you tell me where Courtyard Gardens is?" Well, it's right there. We're nearly across the street, so I said, "Sure." And I asked them where they were from, and asked them how they were doing. And I mentioned to them I was a pastor, and I pastored a church and invited them. I got that. There's this sweet old couple. And in my very sweet, kind, helpful way, I said, "All you have to do is go out and turn left and just drive a little bit on Central, and it's right there on the right." And they were so happy, and they were so thankful that finally someone gave them the right directions, apparently, and in such a kind, sweet, honest, sincere way as I did. The problem is, as soon as I saw them leave, they turned the wrong way. They turned left, which is how I told them to turn. But I realized, no, I meant to say turn right, and it's on the left. And I tried to get their attention, and I couldn't. But I said to myself, "Self, it's okay, because you were sincere, and you were loving, and you were kind, and all roads lead to the same destination." And I know they felt better. They felt a lot better after I said what I said. What I actually said was, "Jim, you doofus. This dear couple, you've sent them the exact opposite direction. Ye blind guide and generation of snipers." That's what I said to myself. They came from New Jersey to visit their 98-year-old mom, and now they're lost somewhere on Military Trail heading to Miami. And the amazing thing is, when they met me, they were actually just a quarter of a mile from Courtyard Gardens. Now I've got them in another county. I want you to remember this. Always remember, just because the words are smooth and delivered in a smooth way, it doesn't mean that they're good. And this is why there's a second and obvious truth in the text, and that is this. Not only are smooth words not necessarily good, but good words, true words, are not necessarily smooth. In other words, signs on the road that guide you and that protect us on the road, signs that direct and inform, good signs, are just not necessarily smooth signs. In fact, did you notice the first word of this chapter is the word woe? Did you notice the first word in the chapter before it is the word woe? Did you notice the first word in the chapter after this is the word woe? The word woe is a judgment you actually call down upon yourself or someone else. And I got to tell you, not very smooth. But you know what we know? We know it's good. Because all of God's word is good. Good words are not necessarily or always smooth. In fact, the word gospel, I love the word gospel. Because the word gospel literally means good news. And yet, note this. The very thing that makes the gospel good is also what makes it unsmooth. You know why? Because look, the first time I ever heard the gospel, our family didn't go to church. We didn't go to church. And the first time I ever heard the gospel, the first thing the gospel told me was that I was lost. The first thing it said to me wasn't that you're awesome. The first thing it said was that I was a sinner. And it told me that I was a sinner condemned in need of a Savior. That doesn't sound smooth, but it sure was good. Pastor, I just love John 3:16. That's the only verse. Leave out these woes. Woe, whatever. Leave out, I just love John 3:16. If we could just stick to that, then, you know, hold up the sign at the World Series and whatever football game. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. Can I remind you, if there's a word in John 3:16, it's the word perish. Should not perish. Right there in the most popular verse in the Bible is a reminder that there is a place called hell. That they should not perish but have everlasting life. Several years ago, a lady was visiting our Sunday morning service on Center Street in our old building over there. She came to me afterwards and she said, "Reverend Blaylock, I'm a visitor here today, and I just want you to know that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed today's service." I thought, wow, so far so good. Remo never says that to me, but whatever. She went on to say, "I'm a member of such kind of a universal thing, and I just want you to know your message was so warm. I felt a peace and a calm in my spirit. It was very soothing." And she said, "I'll be back again." I don't remember sermons very well. If you ask me what I preached last week, I don't know. I didn't, did I? I don't know. 2 weeks ago, whatever. And I especially don't remember sermon titles, but I remember that one because she told me that. The sermon title was "Crowned with God's Glory." And so I wrote it down with a note that said, "What did you do wrong?" Something like that. The next time I saw that very same dear woman, she came to me, but she was a little huffy. And she said, "Reverend, I don't think I'll be coming back. I definitely remember that sermon because the title of that sermon was called 'Don't Believe in Yourself.'" And when she said, "I don't think I'll be coming back because I didn't get the same warm, fuzzy feeling." And of course, I thought to myself, "Yes, I'm back." No, I'm just kidding. Now, the truth is, I was burdened for that lady the first time and the second time. I know something. I know that the scripture she heard, the second message, the one that made her feel less comfortable, less warm and fuzzy, was probably the one that she needed to hear the most. So that regardless of how she felt or I felt, good words are not necessarily smooth words. Let me put it to you this way. If you started having chest pains and it felt like an elephant was standing on your chest, so you go to the doctor and you want him to examine you, and he says, "Sir, you have heart disease, you have 5 clogged arteries, you need surgery ASAP." What are you going to say? Are you going to say to him, "Your words are crude and offensive. I'm very offended by what you just said to me. You're intolerant, you're divisive, you're not very kind. So you decide, I'm just going to go to another doctor, someone who's, easier on the ears." But he says the same thing, and so does the third, and so does the fourth, because you have heart disease, and you're this close to a massive heart attack, and you need a bypass. But somehow, finally, you find a doctor who tells you exactly what you want to hear. And he says with a smile, he looks at you and he says, "You're not a sick man. Those mean old doctors, you're not sick at all. You're just sort of cardio challenged. All I want you to do is the next time you have those chest pains, look at those chest pains in a positive light. Call them love spasms. It's your heart's way of telling you that it loves you, so that you channel those chest pains into positive energy, because you're just going to be fine. Because I'm not here to judge you. Who am I except the love doctor?" And so you know what you do? You leave his office and you feel better. You leave his office and you're, "Oh, so good. That was exactly what I wanted to hear." And it stays that way until, of course, you're going to have a massive love spasm attack. I noted in our neighborhood the other day, they've already installed Christmas lights. Today's the 31st, Halloween. And they're just waiting till tomorrow, November 1st, to turn on all those Christmas lights. I said, "Pastor, don't you love Christmas this time of year? I mean, don't you just love the songs and the music and the children and the Hallmark?" "No." "Don't you just love it all?" "I love Christmas, really I do. But I am thankful by the grace of God that I love all of it. By that, I mean I know and I believe that that little baby in a manger was also given myrrh. Because ultimately, that baby would grow up and die on a cross as our Savior. And why? As a Savior who had to shed His blood, because we are sinners who are lost. And we need salvation. It's a reminder this morning that good words, true words, are not necessarily smooth. Which leads us to a third and final truth in the text. We said, number one, smooth signs are not necessarily good signs. Number two, good signs are not necessarily smooth signs. And number three, I want you to consider God's signs. You're on a highway, right? Of life. And God has placed signs all along that road. God's signs, whatever they are always, always good signs. Rough, smooth, somewhere in between. God's words are always good words. Look at verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Now, folks, I've thought a lot about this verse through the years. And you know, if you really consider what this promise is teaching us, you realize that it's really offering the exact opposite of smooth word theology. In fact, all you have to do is compare the way and the path of verse 21 with the way and the path of the smoothies and the signs that are mentioned in verses 9 and 11. Look at verse 9. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the word of the Lord. Verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside, out of the path. In other words, they said, don't turn our smooth path into something we don't like. Don't tell us when to turn to the left, that there are exits coming up. Don't tell us when to turn to the right. We like the way of our own choosing. So that again, verse 21, the voice that tells you when and where to turn, those signs. This is the opposite of smooth word spirituality. You know why? Because look, human nature, our carnal nature always acts like a river. It always flows in the path of least resistance, and it's the reason why men and rivers are crooked. They follow the path of least resistance, always taking what's easier on our ears and on ourselves. In this case, God promises a voice that tells you the right way, which way to turn. So that whether it is on the right hand, or he says, whether it is on the left hand, whether it's turning onto a path that's smooth or onto a path that's very, very rough, whether the road appeals to you or it doesn't appeal to you, in either case, if it's God's word, it's always good. It should always be welcomed. So that as a child of the living God this morning, I don't have to worry about whether or not the words of this book are rough today or Wednesday night. I don't have to worry whether or not they're smooth and easy on the ears, which sometimes they truly, truly are. When the voice of God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Sometimes it's smooth and sometimes it's sweet and easy. Sometimes it's easy as 1, 2, 3, easy as pie, easy as beating my Miami Dolphins. Sometimes it's super easy. Other times when the Bible says this is the way, walk in, and it's not that easy. Sometimes that road is convicting. It's not as smooth as our flesh is concerned. But never forget, beloved, this. Never forget that this is God's word. And God's word reveals God's will. And therefore, as God's word revealing God's will to our hearts, it is always, always good. Which includes many of you in this room, and some of you watching where you are right now. It includes the truth of God's salvation for your soul. Salvation for your sin. You know, interesting about the gospel. As I mentioned a moment ago, it begins pretty rough. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a young lady in my office the other day. We went through that. All have sinned and come short of the... This is you. This is God's glory. This is you, and you fall short. We all fall short. That's a rough message. I don't love to tell people that first part, but it's the truth. Because the first part begins with conviction, with guilt. There's none righteous. No, not one. Nobody's perfect. It really begins with judgment. The wages of sin is death. That's the beginning of the message. But if you'll hear, look at the signs, keep going, keep following God's instruction, the words get much smoother. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't get the gift until first you get the conviction. Jesus himself said, I came not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. You can't get the forgiveness and the eternal life until first you recognize you're sick and that you're not righteous. So in other words, as all of us journey through this life, let us embrace the whole counsel of God. I cannot promise you that as a preacher or as our Sunday school teachers or our staff, when they get up to speak, I cannot promise you that every time you hear a message, you're going to say, Pastor, that just made me feel better. I feel warm and fuzzy. Of course I can't promise you that. I can't promise you that every time I open the Bible, as I did this morning and did last night and did yesterday morning in the afternoon, that every time I open and I start to read that I get warm and fuzzy. Because most of the time I get under conviction. But here's the glory. I know that in the group, a few hundred people here, I know that the Holy Spirit of God can take every single individual heart and speak to that heart His word. If you're lost here today and you've never been saved, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know this. I know that the Holy Spirit of God can knock on your heart right now. And tell you that you're lost, and tell you you're a sinner, and tell you you need Christ to save you. Not religion, not good works, not going to church, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. I know that's true. I also know that the Holy Spirit can knock on hearts in this room and say, you ignored that road sign. You're disobeying that sign that God gave you as a Christian, as a child of God. And if you keep doing it, you're going to get lost. You're going to get off the path. You're going to get in an accident. There's going to be destruction and pain. So I know that the Word of God, we don't have to cry out with these Israelites and the people of God in that day and in any day and say, look, I just want to hear good stuff. We should cry out, say, I just want to hear God's truth, all of it. And God's people said, let's bow our heads, shall we, for just a moment. Father, we love you today. We thank you for loving us first. We thank you for your word and the truth of it and for how powerful it is in our lives. And how not only did the road signs lead us to Jesus and lead us therefore to you and salvation, but they continue to lead us to a blessed, fruitful, productive life for your honor and glory. May we continue to embrace them. We'll give you the praise for it all in Jesus' precious name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.